Blog Talk Radio.
Batten down the hatches. It was a week of, I don't know, AT&T having problems that shut us completely down. So a mini vacation. We're not used to that till Christmas time, but we got it early. This is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by my brother, a mentor, a friend, Kip Gross, who's in Phoenix, Arizona. He's left Maui. He's left the Blue Waters. He's left the luau's out there. He'll talk about that. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, where each and every week for the last 4 weeks we've got rain. I kind of feel like I live in Seattle. I'm looking for the space needle. 347-205-9631. Take note, next week, Tuesday, no shows. We move this one to Thursday, March 7th, 5 o'clock. It'll be 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time, 8 o'clock Eastern. Make notes of that one, and back to regular schedule the following week on the 12th. So next week, Thursday, March 7th. If you missed the show, it's archived, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, or if you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. As I lay down the groundwork, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. We keep getting better with age, Kip. First of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third, there's a lot to talk about.
I'm doing great, Mark, hanging out in, back in Arizona. Warm weather, not as warm as it was in Hawaii or Maui. Had a great time there for 2 weeks and got a lot accomplished while I was there. Missed our podcast last week, so I'm chomping at the bit pretty hard right now. KipGross.com and BeAGamer@gmail.com are the two ways you can get a hold of me. And, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, a lot of baseball going on right now, so let's have some fun with this today.
Yeah, let's talk about the signings. We just saw Cody Bellinger sign 3 years, $80 million. He opted out after the, I believe, the second year of that thing. So kind of a surprise. No surprise to you. I kind of thought Toronto or the Giants. Nobody's spending a lot of money this year. I know the Dodgers spent $1 billion on two guys. The Giants were right there, too, but not as much money spent on their free agents. Kind of a wait and see. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to bust the union here on the players. Is it collusion? We've heard about this before. Slow signings. No Martinez signed yet. No Blake Snell. So Turner went to the Blue Jays. Some of the latest moves, but I guess the big one that you got to really circle, besides the Dodgers with their two guys that they signed, Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani, I'll tell you right now, and I'm gonna tell everybody this right now, keep your eyes on the Baltimore Orioles. Corbin Burns over there is a stud. He's a workhorse, and Baltimore could win the World Series.
You know what? Baltimore surprised a lot of people last year, and that's one of the reasons. You know, you got a young club that's playing really good, and they get their pitching going and get a few studs in the lineup to back each other up throughout the lineup. Good thing can happen. They play great defense, which is something that I always look at when I look at a team is the defense right away. And they very well could. And, the whole Cody Bellinger thing, yeah, I've been saying it for a while here. I always thought he was going to go back to the Cubs because I just think he's that player that could just go right back and go south again next year after signing a big deal, just like he did in L.A. And so now being with the Cubs, you're kind of forced as a GM and an organization to re-sign a guy because now it becomes one of your fan favorites. And so you got to kind of bring it back. I'm very, very surprised for what he got. I think it's probably, for me, it's probably 4 or 5 times more than what he should have gotten. But we'll see what happens. I know he shortened his swing up last year, which really helped his swing and the strikeouts and brought his average back over 300 for the first time in his career. And by the way, Wrigley can be a really good place to hit in, too, and it could be a really bad place to hit in both ways, depending on which way the wind's blowing. But, yes, there's still some guys need to sign out there. But as far as the owners and the GM signing these guys, not paying a whole lot of money, well, there's got to be a time, in baseball and financially where it's like, where can we go with this? I mean, Ohtani signed for $700 million. And everybody's thinking, oh, geez, I'm going to get a ton of money now. But it doesn't work that way all the time. And that's a big, big, big-ass signing right there for a lot of dough. So people are trying to compare themselves to him. And you really can't because he's a two-way player. You can't compare yourself to him. So, but, yeah, there's some big names still out there, and we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, when you really look at it, to see some of these things. The topics today is we get to the forefront, and I want to say get Dalen out of Chelmsford, Mass, an avid listener. He says, guys, I missed you last week. Damn AT&T ruining my week. Not only that, rain and snow out where I am, so nice to hear you guys. Keep up the good work. Yeah, and topic this week, Dalen, you're going to like it. Spring training superstitions. Now, 12 years in the big league, so you've been there more than a cup of coffee. It's always been interesting, and, you know, doing radio 20 years pretty much and having about 3-4 years behind me with the television doing the ring announcing for the wrestling, I've always been intrigued because baseball to me has always been that sport where how you prepare, you go down to Florida. I try to pick the brains of Tarek Brock, the Pirates' first base coach, who I've been doing a show with him now going on 4 years with the Bucks. How do you prepare? And how different is Florida to Arizona to prepare? The weather, the ballparks are much newer. We talked about this earlier, you know, a couple months ago. But preparing, whether it's in Arizona or in Florida, bus rides, split squad games, and, you know, working out in the outfield after you do your, you know, two innings and stuff. This is the most interesting show it's going to be, you breaking this down, my brother.
Well, you know, Mark, it's first of all, you got to get prepared for spring training. And personally, what I did, I don't know if anybody ever did what I did because I do things a little differently than most people. But every spring training I had was in Florida, and I was living in California. And so I never took the plane. I got on a plane. I drove for 3 days every year to go there. And it was just a time for me to reflect on everything going on and go from family life to baseball life. Because once you get in that clubhouse, they're now your family basically for 7.5 months a season, or a year, I should say. And so you spend so much time with these guys that you've got to – break it down a little bit and kind of, it's hard to say, to get away from your family a little bit. And now these 25 other ball players in that clubhouse are all your family. And so you've got to mentally prepare for that as well as getting physically prepared. And you don't want to overdo it before you get there because you don't want your best to happen in spring training, if that makes sense to you. And if you look at a lot of players in spring training, they don't have great spring training because they're preparing themselves for the upcoming season, where you'll see a lot of rookies and guys that get invited to camp. They're coming in gung-ho, ready to go, throwing 100 miles an hour with nasty sliders, change-ups, Bugs Bunny change-ups, the whole gig, where you got your veterans out there who come in like, why is this guy so good? Why is he being paid so much? Because he's been doing it for so long, he knows how to get prepared. And so to get prepared is one of the things that most guys don't know how to do. It was just like when I went to the bullpen for the first time, I really didn't know what the hell I was doing down there. You know, they'd say, okay, get up. You'd get up, man, you'd let it go. Then they'd say, okay, get down. And then so you didn't get in the game. Next thing you know, two innings later, they say, hey, get back up. You get up, boom, 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 boom. So now your mind is cranking the entire time for three innings, four innings, thinking you're going to be in that game when you may not even sniff the field that day. And so you've got to learn to pace yourself throughout the season. And like I said on this show numerous times, I think that's one of the problems with some of these managers like Dave Roberts in L.A. who use the analytics, and they do this constantly with these players down there. They get guys ready, they set them down. Instead of getting them up and say, hey, go get them, guys. And so there's a big, big mental preparedness besides getting prepared physically, which nowadays I don't think they even take hardly any time off. And I think that's one of the problems in baseball today is they don't give themselves time to rest during the offseason. I think that's why there's a lot of injuries in the game today besides not only pitchers but position players, because their bodies just don't heal up and they're all on, you know, the best supplements in the world. They all have private chefs now and whatever. Man, sometimes you got to go out and just have a greasy cheeseburger and a couple beers and say, hey, I'm going to have some fun tonight and let my body rest some. And they just don't do that anymore. And, you know, one of the other things is, you know, you got the cell phone today, so everybody's got a video of you if you're out having a beer. So they don't even do that anymore. So but spring training is a fun time. You get to go down into a warm weather. Well, Florida, it rained a lot. During spring training, you're kind of praying for rain some days in spring training because you kind of want to just say, okay, they're going to call the game today. I'll go in, get my work in, and let's go golfing later on when it's not raining. And so spring training is fun. It really is, Mark.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that. The ballparks, and you've been to a lot of them, whether it's in Florida or Arizona. Was there ones that stood out to you? I mean, I'm enthralled with, you know, Pirate City, and I could be a little biased on this, in Bradenton. It's been there the Bucks have been there for years. I know the Yankees in Tampa, and that might be better looking than what they've done for the Tampa Bay Rays. And then you get into where the Braves are. And I know it's changed over the years, because I can remember the days when the Rangers were in Pompano, the Orioles were maybe in Miami, and then you had the Expos in West Palm, splitting it with, I believe, the Cardinals or the Braves at the time. So has anything changed a little since when you played the game in some of these parks? Maybe they put a fresh coat of paint on them?
Well, you know, first of all, yes, which parks had stood out to me. Dodgers spring training was always stood out to me, not only because I was there for 3 years, actually 4 years, but it was also because they didn't have dugouts. It was the strangest thing, didn't have dugouts. I mean, you sat up next with the fans, and they're literally right behind you. If you wanted to turn around and grab the popcorn out of the person's box, you could. And it was just kind of a strange thing there with all that. They've since, you know, they're not there anymore, and they've turned it into a kind of a national little mark down there where they play some different things and do whatever. But, you know, now that I'm living in Arizona and in the Scottsdale area, Phoenix, Scottsdale area, man, the ballparks here are unbelievable compared to Florida. I mean, some of these ballparks are almost big league ballparks where you could – I mean, it's crazy how the facilities are here, Mark. It really, really is. We went to an A's game last night, and they're playing the Diamondbacks, and all they did was redo the stadium. And it's a tremendous, tremendous stadium. It's not even one of the nicer ones here, and it's tremendous. I mean, you go to the Dodgers place down here and the Diamondbacks place, and it's like you're walking into this thing. It's like, this is spring training, but the night games sell out completely. Dodgers got a big following, obviously. The Diamondbacks here got a big following, obviously. And it's fun to see that they have all these facilities for these players today, because there's so much money in the game. But it's crazy for me to see how all these stadiums have developed over the years since I was playing, and to actually see what they do for the players these days. It's almost like if you're not in shape and you can't play at the level that they're putting you at, it's kind of on yourself, because you have all the facilities and everything you need to better yourself. So there really is no excuses for it anymore as far as any of that's concerned. So if I 16 years I played, not one spring training was in Arizona. And I kind of wish I could have done that, because the rain doesn't happen here much. Florida, it rained a lot. But it's freaking track from Florida to Arizona is all I can tell you right now as far as stadiums.
Now, how about the teams preparing? Well, you played with quite a few teams, and were instrumental in playing with those teams because you got God-given talent and experience and knowledge. Was there any team that stood out of all of them that you played with in the States? I know you played in Japan, but anything in the States? How was the camaraderie during the spring training, getting ready for the upcoming season, passing the, you know, and seeing some of these guys maybe you were close with, and then they get cut or they get traded just before the regular season, or, you know, as they get down to cutting camps? That's got to be a tough thing, too.
You know, it's a crazy thing is what you're talking about right now as far as getting cut and doing all that. when you get to spring training, hell, the last time I went with the Dodgers, that's when they signed Kevin Brown to that big, big, huge deal. I think at that time it was $105 million. You know, he had a private plane for his family to fly all over the country. They gave him this, they gave him that, and it was a really strange spring training because we get there and they literally had 75 players at camp that year, and you're going in like, oh, what are we doing here? Why do you have so many players? And then to have the manager and the pitching coach come to the pitchers one day and said, hey, if you're not on the 25-man roster right now, you have no chance of making this team. They flat out told us that, and it was so why are we here? And so it was kind of a strange one. They let Kevin Brown do anything and everything he wanted to do. We were all required to wear our uniforms while we were running. Kevin Brown didn't have to. And so they kind of separated the players from each other right away because it's like, why are you letting this guy do what he wants to do while the other guy over here has to do this? And but you can't do that. When you get to the big league level, you're big league. It's just all there is to it. Everybody's the same. Everybody does the same thing. And don't get me wrong. I thought Kevin Brown was one of the best people I ever met in my life. I did. But I think he should have went the other way and said, you know what, guys? I'm going to be a teammate, and I'm going to put on my uniform. But he never did. He went out in shorts, had a cutoff T-shirt, and that's how he did his running with us. And here we are in uniform and busting our asses out there. You know, at that point in time, nobody's bigger than the game. And I'll say that till right. Who knows how long. Nobody's bigger than the game. And next thing you know, were the Dodgers winning? No. They weren't winning at all. And it's you know, you got to have camaraderie. You got to have a team player. You got to have that special thing in that clubhouse where everybody loves everybody and gets along with everybody. You have everybody's back. And so that season, that spring training sticks out to me a ton. The other spring training that sticks out to me was the 1990 Reds when we won the World Series, when Lou Piniella came in, and right after the big thing with Pete Rose, you know, getting kicked out of baseball for life, and he just had a meeting that day, and he says, guys, first of all, I want to congratulate Pete Rose on the team he put together here. He goes, I can't wait to manage you guys, and he told us there was nothing wrong with Pete Rose and how he managed the game. It's just some problems came up, and he just told everybody, hey, let's do this the best we can and show people that this team can win. Next thing you know, we win 9 straight and wire to wire and win the World Series. So, you know, that obviously that spring training stands out to me a whole bunch too. So, but there's so much to camp out there, Mark, as far as, you know, you're talking about superstitions and stuff. You know, guys come in. Right. And it's one of those things where you have to you got to impress the manager, and you got to impress the coaches, you got to impress the front office, you got to impress everybody. So you're watching your P's and Q's all the time if you can, and just going out and busting your ass. My whole thing when I was playing, and I'm still this way to this day, is I'm not going to ever let anybody outwork me. It's just I'm not going to do it. If I outwork everybody, I know that I've given it my all. And that's one of the things you see with a lot of these players is they just go and they just give it a half-ass effort sometimes, and they just try to give everything they can while on the mound, where in all reality, what you do to prepare to get on the mound is what's going to make you better on the mound, in my opinion. And that's why some of these guys, I just, you know, all the years I played in spring training, you see some of these guys like, why aren't you putting in a little extra work, or why aren't you putting in any work at all? And it's like, you know what, I'm good. I am who I am, and that's what I'm going to do. And so that's why a lot of these guys didn't play very long, and they know who they are out there. And I've heard a lot of them actually say it over the years, say, God, I wish I wouldn't have did this. I wish I wouldn't have gone out and partied all the time. I wish. Well, now that's why when I was playing, I said, you know what, no one is ever going to outwork me. I'm not going to let it happen. If that guy's still on that Stairmaster over there, I'm going to be on it 10 minutes longer after he gets done. And that's just how I always did it. I'm going to put in get my ab work in. I'm going to get my, it just weights everything. I mean, there were times where the Dodgers actually had to come in the weight room and kick me out and say, go home. It's time to go home. And it was, that's why I played 16 years. It really is. Cause you know, Michael Jordan always said he practiced harder than he played. And he wanted the games to be easier than practice. Well, you know what? I kind of like that a little bit because that's what you do. You got to put all that time in and effort and work before those games begin, because once the games begin, it's hard, but at the same time, make it so it's not as hard as mentally, because you've already prepared for it. And that's one of the things, the mental part of the side of baseball is huge, you know, and that's kind of where it's at, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's amazing, and this show is going by quick. And as we wind it down to 10 minutes, that's how fast you and I can do this. And we got a lot of people commenting and everything, and I'm trying to get to everybody. But one of the guys, Lance, coming in from Pensacola, Florida, says, spring training the best. I wish the Cowboys trained out in Florida. And the Cowboys and the Dodgers are joined at the hip. I keep telling everybody this. This is teams that are living off a tradition. We're going to have fun here in March with me going off on those guys. And I keep telling people, I keep trying to find out why I hate them so bad. And I go, well, after that, Mike Piazza debacle, that was the end of them, man. And, you know, you brought up an interesting thing, and I took a note on it, was the bringing in a guy like Kevin Brown. The Dodgers, you know, have guys that just brought in, two guys that they spent, you know, $1 billion on. One guy's a guaranteed contract, Yamamoto, that hasn't played, you know, pitched in the state, so we're going to find out what he's all about. And Ohtani coming to a different league that really is, he can hit home runs. Yeah, that's fine, well, and dandy, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere close to what he was before pitching. I'm saying Steven Strasburg in the making. I've said that before, but when you bring guys like this in there, what's the message sent to the guys like that have been there in the trenches? I know you welcome the guy in there and stuff, but I would almost be a safe bet to say they have to adapt to you guys more so than you adapting to them, because you guys have been there, so it's kind of like, you know, trying to figure what you guys are all about. Am I right or wrong?
There's no doubt, Mark. There's no doubt. And that's why I think a guy like Ohtani, though, being an Asian and from Japan, because I played over there for 5 years, I think he's the guy that's going to come in and just try to get along with everybody, do his thing, and be a team player. I believe that out of him, because of how the Japanese are, being in their culture over there for as long as I was. But I, like I said, you got guys like the Kevin Brown who just come in, and it's like, hold on here. This is your team. You haven't pitched one inning for this team yet, and now they're making this your team. And I'm sure that happens quite often with some of these big ass free agents that come and go and go on these teams, and, you know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox. Some of these players they sign for huge contracts. I mean, the best example I'll give you is that the Padres. Look at their players. I mean, they're all individuals, and that's why they haven't won for with all these big star names, because they it's all about them. They think I'm the star, and it just doesn't work out that way. People have animosity, and there's always a little, you know, a little friction in the clubhouse going on because of all this. And, you know, I think baseball is going to start turning, Mark, back to the way it used to be. I really do. I think the fans are getting a little tired of some of the stuff that's been going on, you know, the bat flipping and stuff like that. You know, all these headgear they're putting on after home runs and stuff. It's just like, where is this going to the WWE? Is this a fake wrestling thing out there? You know, I know it's entertainment, but at the same time, you know, you got players in your team and fans that are supporting you, paying your bills, and they don't want to see all that. They want to see clean baseball, really clean baseball. And it's starting to move away from all that. Over the years, it's been moving away from all that. The fundamentals in baseball have just gone to shit. And now I think it's going to start moving backwards. It's going to start going back. Say, hold on here. You know, all these analytics don't really work like we think they were supposed to. And so let's get back to letting the manager use his heart and his mind and his feelings to figure out what's going to go on today. Because, you know, a manager can sit and say, hey Kip, what'd you do last night? You know, I went out and had a few beers and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, you know what, let's take it easy today. But the analytics don't let you do that. You know, you're supposed to go out and do what you're supposed to do. And he can say, you know what, let's just take it easy today. You know, you got a little hamstring going back there, whatever. They'll ask you that. And that with analytics, they don't allow you to do that. It's like it's just straight, this, that, you know, and it just, I'm not a big fan of it. And so hopefully things do change here a little bit. And I think it's going to start going. So we're going to find out shortly.
Yeah. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon says, God is terrific. analytics are terrifying.
Yeah. I got to agree with you, brother. I got to agree with
you.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Hey, less than 5 minutes, good reporters. And to me, a good reporter kind of lets you come out of the shower, get yourself acclimated again, wind down and everything. And I'm sure there's good reporters. I've seen some good reporters out there. And you've seen probably more than I do going into city to city. The good ones will give you the space. Kind of, you know, they might throw a hard question, but it's kind of like a, you know, letting you know what's coming. And we don't have enough of that because we're trying to sell papers. And next week's going to be an interesting show on Thursday. Bad reporters and preparing, for the regular season. So that'll be a good one. But good reporters, I'm sure you saw them in Cincy. I'm sure you saw them in Boston, L.A., Japan. These are the guys, I know, with a couple minutes, you know, you could take to elaborate on it. What's a good reporter to you in your own mind?
Well, a good reporter reports what you tell him, and that's what they do. And you know, they'll interview you, and you know, they'll even put the mic up to your face or the microphone or the recording device, whatever they're going to use for that day, and they'll start asking you questions. And you don't want to get too in-depth with a lot of things. I'll never forget my first week in Cincinnati. A reporter came out after we just had a team meeting to go over the other team. And he comes out and he says, so what do they talk about? And I said, well, they're kind of just giving the scouting report on everybody. And he says, so what do they say? I said, you know, it's kind of weird, but pretty much everybody was, you know, he likes the ball out over the plate. But then I elaborated on that. And I started saying some other things. Well, what's he put in the paper the next day? Kip Groh says all their scouts just say that don't leave the ball out over the plate because he likes to hit it over the plate. And sure as hell, the next day in my locker was this piece of paper from this reporter, and the GM put it in my locker, and it showed right there. It just had a circle around it with that quote that I had. But the reporter didn't elaborate. It didn't put all my quote in there. He just put what I said for one sentence. And so what I was told when I first got to the big leagues, and I'll never forget this, I've said it a billion times to a ton of people, is 50% of what you read in the paper about sports is not true. And it's pretty much that way. It really is. Because the reporters, they sell papers. That's what they do. They want to create controversy. And that's pretty much what the media does today, regardless in all aspects of the news. They just want controversy, sell papers, and sell. That's what they do. So there's a lot of great reporters out there, though, Mark. There really is.
Well, and not only that, and I know we're down to 2 minutes and change, and we can take this into next week, too. But I've always said, and you know my feelings towards the Dodgers, and I've always said this. If you stay consistent, whether you're doing this show that's picking up steam or you're doing XM or whatever you're doing, and you stay consistent on that, more people are going to believe a guy like you because you keep staying consistent where you're not wishy-washy and go, well, no, I've been kind of like this. And that makes the relationship that much more smoother, too, because then you're going to know that whoever this guy talks to, he's going to always have that same view on something. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, absolutely, you're right. I mean, you want to talk to somebody that you know is going to tell you the truth and not just jerk you around every time you have an interview. And that's, you know, that's one of the problems with some of these guys. You know, everybody knows Barry Bonds didn't want to talk to reporters, and that was his thing. Right. And that's, you know, that's part of the problem why he's not inducted today. I know there's other reasons, but you know, everybody thought he was pretty much an asshole while he was playing. But the players, you know, we'll even tell you too that played with him. Yeah, he was. He was his own guy and did his own thing. But you know what? Everybody has their own personality, and you've got to kind of go with that personality and let people do their own thing as a player in a clubhouse. You know, everybody's not the same, and that's the way it is in life. You know, this guy's this way, that guy's that way, this girl's that way. You know, we're all different, and so you got to treat people a little bit different because of who they are. But in baseball, the reporters, if they can't get a story out of you, they're not going to say good stuff about you. It's just that simple. So that's kind of how it is in the game. But it's you got to learn the, just like an umpire, you got to learn the reporters. You know,
right.
It's kind of how it is.
Well, as we wind this show down and we continue next Thursday instead of Tuesday, take note, everybody, we got to do a show where we can interview the reporters with the questions they ask the players. That's what we should do one day. Interview
That's
those
good.
Guys and turn, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. That would be a good thing, too. Next week's going to get really interesting. Bad reporters, and boy, I'll tell you, I've got a story on a couple of those covering the Padres and the Dodgers in the 90s. So that'll be an interesting one. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I'm glad we're back this week. I missed you tremendously, and you're back from Hawaii, too, so it's great, and always a pleasure doing this show with you each and every week.
Yeah, Mark, I had a tough time last week. I was really looking forward to last week, and when things go down, they go down. You got to understand that. I love doing this every week with you, and it's good fun. I get excited about it. I actually have a little alarm on my phone where it rings to let me know it's coming up today, and so I don't miss anything, and it's all good. So, kipgross.com and beagamer@gmail.com is where you get a hold of me. I appreciate everybody that's listening and commenting and whatever you want to do. We'll never say anything that's not in our mind here and what we think. We're never going to go that way here with this podcast. So keep tuning in.
No, I tell you, I'm joined at the hip, man. We're running this up a pole, man, I'm telling you. And as we continue to get stronger and put the work in and outwork everybody else, I can't wait to do this again next week with you. Well, everybody, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Stay tuned at the top of the hour. Peter Ray out of Cleveland, Ohio, banging the drum over there, and then we finish with the Pittsburgh with Joe Kuklis. For Kip Gross, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying thanks for tuning in. Let everybody know what we're all about, and tell them to adjust the mirrors. see you next Thursday, March 7th.
Yep.
At 5 o'clock.
Indeed. Thursday it is.
Yep, Thursday at 5 o'clock. Back to regular schedule 5 days later on the 12th on our Tuesday slot. Have a great one, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Kip, I love you. Keep up the good work, man. And get out there and catch that foul ball for me.
All right. See you all next Thursday. See you all next Thursday.
Thanks.
Have a good one.